Okay, I hit record. Quit saying the N-word.
Okay. Feelings. Nothing more than feelings.
God damn it, that's beautiful. Here we go. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Crappy Techno Music Show. I'm your host, Gunther Far From Farton. Tonight, we're going to play you a little Jaundice Mode 7, some Acid Belt Sisters, Lords of Orgasm, and of course, Royksopp. We have a special guest in the studio tonight, Dr. Heinrich Reichhein, who's going to be talking about the new phenomenon called sleep standing. That's sleeping. Sleeping? It's sweeping the country. The country of Liechtenstein. So let's get ready, everybody. Let's get ready to party. The techno way. Let's party like it's 2009. JBC. Joe.
That was radical.
Joe, I'm so sleepy. It's like I'm in bed right now.
Yeah, I'm pretty sleepy too. Did you get any sleep last night?
Nope.
I think I got 3 hours of sleep, but it might have been just kind of a half-assed trance.
Trance? Why didn't I think of that? We're listening to techno music. We should be listening to trance.
Yeah.
Not just trance, but shitty trance. Crappy trance, whatever.
God-awful trance.
Here we go. Like that's the word I was looking for. God-awful trance. In fact, I'm going to name my trance band God-awful. Wait, trance is never a band, though, is it? It's like just one guy.
Some dude. Or some woman. Women or play trance, too.
Or two people, like tops. You know, like...
Yeah.
Like the Acid Belt Sisters. They're a techno duo, but...
And they high-five every once in a while. That's important.
Yeah. And pretty much that's the only reason you do it, right?
Well, that's about, I think, 25% of the meaningful activity that happens on stage.
Yeah, I agree.
Between DJs. I'm just fucking with it. All you DJs out there? There's no DJs listening to this.
No.
Now, I consider DJs real musicians, but...
I don't.
You know, everybody always jokes that DJs don't do anything and they're not musicians. I think that's a little unfair.
If we're going to differentiate between the people who are in a studio putting together a track, we're going to differentiate them from the guys in the club with, you know, one earphone on one ear. And they're, like, pointing their finger at something that you can't see because you're, like, for some reason, 6 feet below them. Those guys are not musicians, in my opinion. Ones in the studio are. But and if you disagree, Joe, I mean, that's good fodder for conversation at some point if we weren't going to be talking about something vastly more important this evening.
Well, you know, what's the guy's name? RJD2?
Yes,
I consider that guy a musician. He puts together beats and funky shit and makes me feel. You know what? If I want to feel good, remember I was saying a guaranteed something to make me feel better if I'm having a bad day is the drive-by farting video.
Yes.
Well, even better is RJD2. Makes me feel good.
I think he's a musician as well, and I'm putting him in the former category of in a studio creating something. Yes,
gotcha,
I'm not putting him on a stage in a crappy nightclub in Las Vegas, nodding his head after he syncs up two tracks.
I swear to God, there are DJs now that I think they just line up songs on their smartphone. They connect the smartphone to the speakers, and they dance around while their smartphone plays music.
Yeah.
I swear to God, that really happens, doesn't it? And that seems like bullshit. But
I would grant them that they are better engineers than I am, and I'm not trying to be modest. They are. I mean, if there's some sort of like on the fly syncing of beats, yeah, that takes some skill. Sure. I mean, but it's engineering. It's not musicianship, in my opinion.
Well, I think, you know, do people still like scratch the vinyl? I used to really like that, you know, like DJ Hurricane or Mixmaster Mike. That's really like playing an instrument. Come on now, that's That's impressive shit.
Well, okay, would you say playing a tambourine is playing an instrument?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then I'll grant you that scratching it's instrumental. I mean, it definitely adds something, and it's definitely something, again, I can't do, requires some technical prowess and a feel for the music, and so they're in there doing it. But if all they're doing is like, Ricky, 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 you know, no, give me a tambourine, I can do that eventually.
You know what? Maybe later on, or maybe some other episode or something. I swear to God, some of that shit gets really complex.
Absolutely.
You can get really very tricky on the vinyl scratching.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's way more so than a tambourine. But anyway,
fair enough. Okay.
I'm
a stuck up guy when it comes to stuff.
Do you play the kazoo?
I do not.
You don't? Okay.
No.
Would you consider that an instrument?
Yeah. Well, would you consider someone's voice an instrument? Because that's what a kazoo is. It's just a voice that's been, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're split
kazoo
here.
Kazoo seems like a cheap trick, or just cheap.
Well, it's humming. It's humming, and it's just amplified in a weird way. But we're splitting hairs, and we're definitely getting off topic. And what's great about that is we don't have a topic, but we're still off of it. So,
well, yeah, I am sleepy. It's funny that you were talking about sleep standing because I think I did that a couple times today.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
You know, there is one more music thing that I remembered I wanted to bring up, so I'm going to bring it up before I forget.
Okay.
What's that song by Journey where he goes, nah, 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 nah? What's that song? Loving, touching, squeezing.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, is that that's the song? At the risk of, you know, these-izing it, I'm going to play you a bit of it just to put it back in your head. Let me see. I'm not going to turn off the background music because, you know, why bother? You hear that? Let's get to the. All right, you feeling that? You know what I'm talking about there?
Yeah, yeah. Wait,
remember
that's
that
not when the lights go down in the city?
No, that's a different song. That song was on the radio the other day, God help me. And I got to bring up the lyrics here because something occurred to me that maybe it's been obvious to everybody in the whole world. And I never figured it out until just now. And this isn't good. This is a good podcasting, Joe. I'm not going to like wow you with some deeply awesome thing. I'm just talking about stuff here. So the song is like this guy, I guess he's singing to this woman about how, you know, they used to be in love, but now someone else is loving, touching, and squeezing her or whatever, and he's all sad about it. But then he says, later he says, you know, one of these days that guy's going to dump you, and he's going to go hook up with someone else. And he sings, because he's loving, touching another. Now it's your turn, girl, to cry, right? That's the lyrics go. And then he starts in with the na-na-na-na-na part, right? And it just dawned on me, like, after what? This song's been around for, I don't know, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years? That na-na-na-na.
Like
yeah, that na-na-na-na part. That's him going, na-na-na-na-na.
Oh, is it? I was just thinking, if he's talking about a breakup and, like, you know, horrible feelings, na-na-na-na-na kind of sounds inappropriate, maybe.
Yeah,
but you're saying he's just saying nanny nanny boo boo.
Yeah, basically, but that's what I'm getting at. That what's his name? Steve Perry. I don't know if he wrote the song or not, but he's back in the days. Like, yeah, well, someday he's gonna break up with you, and then you're gonna be sad, na 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 na. And it's just very juvenile. This song. I don't know. I wanted to talk about that, and I did. Now we can move on. Thank you.
Well,
I appreciate it.
Have you ever had a bad breakup?
All of my breakups have been bad, Joe. Every single fucking one of them, yeah.
Have you ever been just consumed by depression after a breakup? Have you ever
Yeah. Absolutely.
I've had breakups that have really fucked me up.
Oh yeah.
That was a long time ago though.
Do you know what my revenge on all of those people have always been?
What's that?
I'm gonna be graphic right now. Anybody breaks up with me? Guaranteed for the next 3-4 years, I'm going to be thinking about them when I'm in the shower and we're having anal sex. That's my revenge. That's right. And not only that, not only are we having anal sex, but before we have it, they have to wash my anus.
Wow. That's dark.
Mm-hmm.
It's where the sun does not shine. It's very dark.
Unless you're a porno star, your sun does not shine back there.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, talk about like bad breakups. I saw this, it was like a kind of a documentary, a docudrama based on a book. It was horrifying and all of a sudden funny. It was called Wisconsin Death Trip. Have you ever read that or seen that before?
No, what's that?
Well, it's based on a bunch of real newspaper clips from this like small town in Wisconsin. I can't remember the name. And it's all these little newspaper clips within like the decade 1890 to 1900, like that decade, the newspaper clips from that small town. That town was like inundated with like emotional disturbance and suicide and murder and mental illness. And there's one dude, you know, running the small town little paper for the whole county. And his accounts of these things, it was happening so much that he almost just became like nonchalant about it, the way that he reported these terrible things. And anyway, I figure I was thinking this week we would talk about our feelings.
Yeah.
But
let's do that.
I was thinking about feelings and that just how about emotional disturbance in general. And I can't get these the Wisconsin death trip out of my head. Like one of them was, let me just like give you an example. One of them was like, I don't even know what to call him. Billy Wilson was found the other day with his head blown off. He had put check this out. He had put dynamite in the snow, lit the dynamite, and laid down on it, and the dynamite blew his fucking head off.
Jesus. Except,
you know, so he wasn't feeling too good.
Yeah,
he wasn't having a good day. And, you know, there's other stories like people just laying down on railroad tracks. There were so many stories about some dude, you know, a bunch of the guys just would go home after work or go home after getting drunk and just strangle their fucking wives.
Wow.
Or just, I mean, oh my God. It's terrible. Anyway, I had no idea. It's a creepy story about just a small town where everybody was emotionally disturbed. It seemed like – I mean there was only three – oh my God. There's only 3,000 people in the town now. So I don't know. It must have been tiny. They must have lost half of their citizenry through emotional disturbance, suicide, murder. Anyway.
And how did you come across this?
I came across this like I come across a lot of things in my life, which is I will be watching some movie, maybe some older movie from the 80s, and I'll start Wikipediaing the movie just to learn everything about it, because somehow half the time just watching the movie isn't good enough for me. So I'll be watching the movie, reading about it, like reading trivia about it, how it was produced. How much money it's made when it came out. And then, when it comes to the production or like how it was written, I'll stumble across like what it was based on or what inspired the movie.
Yeah.
I found Wisconsin Death Trip because I was watching this movie called Return to Oz.
Really?
Yeah. Return to Oz. And, apparently, well, at the beginning of that movie, it's, you know, Dorothy, and she's in turn of the century, you know, the Midwest in the turn of the century.
Yeah.
And apparently the guy that wrote the script for Return to Oz, he based like the dreariness. I don't know. Somehow he was inspired by the book Wisconsin Death Trip while he was like putting together the imagery and the storyline of when Dorothy was still in Kansas.
I see.
At the beginning of the movie. Anyway, yeah. It was bizarre. So I run across, I think that's the best way to come across like some obscure, interesting stuff is, you know, and so watch something, learn about anything that you're watching or anything that you're interested in, learn more about it. And then you run across all these other little, you know, pieces of art or writing or film.
Let's talk about that process. Let me ask you this question, though. You said you read the book, right? Wisconsin Death Trip.
No, I didn't. They ended up making all of these horrible stories. They made a film where it's just a bunch of vignettes dramatizing all of these horrible events that happened in the town. It's actually haunting. Like it's like a series of little short films almost. Mm-hmm. I say that it's funny because like it's really bleak and there's everybody in this town is depressed and killing themselves. But then it becomes almost absurd. I mean, by the time a dude blows his head off with dynamite in the snow, I was just like, I guffawed. I'm like, oh my God, this is, oh, what? I mean,
yeah, you know, here's what I wanted to do with what you're talking about. I want to meld some of these ideas. One, this idea that you were watching one thing and that drove you to learn more about it, which led you to another thing. And, you know, you heard about the book and then you heard about the docudrama. And there's, of course, a Static X album that's called Wisconsin Death Trip. And
that's right. I came across that when you know, Wikipediaing. Yeah. And YouTubing all this shit. Yeah.
So you kind of went on this, I'm not going to say emotional journey, but you went on a connected journey of thing led you to thing led you to thing. And I know you want to talk about emotions and talk about our emotions. And I think that it's safe to point out that between you and I, one of us has had, what's the word I'm looking for? Has had a journey through emotional states that he only very recently has understood is, in fact, a journey. And they're all connected, right? Like one day you're happy, but being happy leads you to do something which reminds you of something which reminds you that you're supposed to be unhappy, and then you're sad, and then to get over it, you move on. And it's just, you know, there's frustration in there. There's anger. There's disgust. There's joy. There's elation. And it's this, and it really is. It's a journey. I know I'm grasping at straws here, but that's also.
No. It's actually, that occurred to me because I do, you know, it used to be, I think back in the late 90s, they called it surfing the web.
Yeah.
And so I do that. And Wikipedia is this crazy monster wave. Oh my God, that was cheesy as hell. But anyway, it occurred to me because you know, I start with Return to Oz, which is kind of a creepy, cool movie.
Yeah,
Firouza Balk's first movie.
That's her first girl. One. So not to go off on a tangent, but Firouza Balk is one of those people that I will never admit to being attracted to, but I'm so attracted to her, and I don't know what it is. Anyway, moving on.
I feel the same way.
I'm not trying to denigrate or what's the word? I'm not trying to say that Firouza Balk is a person who, having breasts and vaginas, is therefore only worthy of being attracted to, right? I mean, she is a human being. She's actually, I think, a very talented actor in many, many regards. And we can have a whole episode just about Firouza if you want. But I think it says a lot that in this movie that was – had part of its concept based on Wisconsin Death Trip. It seems, I don't know, to me very appropriate that this was Firouza Balk's first movie. I mean, it just fits her so well. Anyway.
Yeah, it does. It's funny. I was watching – I think this tangent is worth sticking with just for a moment.
Sure.
Because my wife is really funny because, you know, Firouza Balk's a little girl in that movie. And,
yeah.
And in that movie, it is pretty cool because apparently they based the characters on the illustrations from L. Frank Baum's books.
Yeah.
So they really tried to adhere, and they brought in a few of the, you know, subsequent novels and tried to bring in storylines. I was like, wow, this is a really interesting movie. And Firouza Balk is this gorgeous little girl. Like she's just a cutie pie. Mm-hmm. And some evil bitch in the movie was like, looked at her and said, by the way, this evil witch in the movie, she collects pretty girls' heads and like and switches heads. She's an evil witch and it collects pretty girls' heads so she can wear different heads. Okay. She's looking at – so this – it's a pretty dark movie really. And she looks at Firouz Balk and she's like, well, I'd say that you're pretty and you will be attractive when you grow up, but certainly not beautiful. Wow. And my wife looked at me and said, she was right.
That's terrible.
I was like, oh, man. I can't help it. There's something weird about Firouz Balk, but I've always thought she was hot. But my wife was like, no, there's something weird about her. I don't like it. She was prettier as a little girl. I was like, actually, okay, yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah.
Anyway, where the hell were we before we started?
Emotional journeys.
Emotional journey, yeah. So I realized while I'm surfing the web and learning about Wisconsin Death Trip and end up watching this movie, that was an emotional journey. In fact, I started watching Return to Oz because I kind of needed – you know when I was caught up and stressed out and I needed like a fantasy movie. Okay. So I was doing that. That was an emotional move right there. And then it backfired because – one, the movie is bleak as shit. Yeah. I look up the, you know, information about it, and suddenly I'm reading a bunch of, you know, suicide news clips from a newspaper at the turn of the century. I mean, it turned south real quick.
Yeah.
And by the end of the night, I was watching a movie where it's a bunch of vignettes of people being murdered and killing themselves. I'm like, okay. But see, that was an emotional journey, and it made me realize – when I'm just the associations in my brain, it kind of works like surfing the web. Like one, just my thoughts, one association leads to the next. And sometimes it moves really quickly and you end up in a completely different place. And, you know, thoughts kind of trigger emotions. Mm-hmm. So just the association of your mind, just surfing your own mind, can be an emotional roller coaster. So it's cool that you brought that up because that has occurred to me more than once.
This idea that, you know, thoughts lead to emotions lead to thoughts, and it goes back on itself. You know, I got to tell you that I think for a lot of us, it is, oh shit, Jesus, Joe, I'm really taking us down the serious path again. I do not want to do that this week. No, God damn it. I want to talk about
just
emotions in a manly way.
Come on.
Okay.
Do it.
I was going to say this, and please feel free to interrupt and argue and tell me I'm wrong. I don't like it. I don't like emotions, Joe. I don't like thoughts. I want to be devoid of both. The other day, today, my son, my two-year-old, what's his name? I can't even remember. Allison's kid. He's sick, poor guy. He's got just a lung full of snot, and he's just coughing and wheezing, and he's therefore very, very clingy. And he comes running up to me, and he won't let me put him down. And there's a part of me that kind of likes it. I mean, he just you know how it is when you love somebody, it just feels good to hold them, right? And my wife is sick too, and you know, she's constantly like, can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do this? And when I say constantly, it's not really constantly. I mean, one time a day is too much for me. That to me is constantly. But again, there's a small part of me that likes it, likes being needed, you know. But I feel guilty that I like being needed. And then I feel ashamed of feeling guilty that I like being needed. And then I'm proud that I'm ashamed that I feel guilty that I like being needed. And then I'm just laughing at how stupid it is that I'm proud of being ashamed of feeling guilty that I like being needed. And that is all fucked up, and I don't want it any more. So you tell me, what number of chalupas do I need to eat at your Taco Bell, Joe, so I don't feel this shit anymore?
You know what? Take two chalupas and call me in the morning.
Okay.
That's all it takes. Two chalupas.
Two chalupas. Should I put the hot sauce on there?
Chalupa Supreme. You're going to need fire sauce, and that's two packets per chalupa. So, see, it's funny because I wanted to talk about that tonight. I work at Taco Bell, and the people that come in, I feel like, are looking for emotional relief. They're not even necessarily hungry. Mm-hmm. It's actually, some of the people that come in there, I think, should stop eating for the next fucking week. Like, just they don't need to.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I feel kind of, I feel like I provide some emotional healing, but yes. I don't know. But I'm not sure if Taco Bell's the healthiest way to, as a coping mechanism for emotional distress. I'm not sure if quesadilla is the right thing.
Well, you say emotional distress, but I mean, there's a lot of these whack jobs out there are telling us that we need to embrace our emotions and, you know, recognize them for what they are and own them. And it's like, well, if my emotional state is I want a fucking chalupa and I want to put it down my pants, and I mean that metaphorically. No, I don't. I mean actually literally put it down my pants, you know. Aren't I supposed to own that shit and shove that chalupa down my pants? I mean, what is the difference, Joe, between chalupa therapy and, like, these wackos who work in, like, what is it, the cognitive behavior? What is that bullshit that
CBT, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. These weirdos go to college and get a degree and they set up shop in, like, Southern California somewhere and they're all like, oh, we're going to talk through your emotions and you're going to, you know, own them and you're going to, what is it that these fuckers do? They're like, you're going to behave in a way that is appropriate and that will inform the emotions that you have. And it's a process. You're like, why is that better than, you know, stuffing a gordita in my face once or twice a day? Why?
I don't know. Maybe it just goes a little bit beneath the surface. A chalupa is kind of like Amazon. It gives you fleeting relief, but might not address the core issue. But fucking a chalupa, Jason, that's a long term healing process.
Do you mean like because the fire sauce numbs you a little bit, it takes longer to hit orgasm? Or are you talking about like you have to do it day after day after day? Like the first time you fuck a chalupa in a Taco Bell, they kick you out. Like the 10th time, they're like, okay, why do we keep letting you in here? There's something going on. Let's deal with this together as a family.
Every time I see one of my customers fuck a chalupa, I have to ask them to leave. And they're not supposed to come back. But they do, I am in the business of selling chalupas, so when they come back, I'm like, you're going to eat it this time, right? And they're like, yeah. And I sell them a chalupa, and they fuck the chalupa again right in front of me. It's a little disturbing for the children that are standing in line with their parents. But I do, I make a big show of it, like, get out of here and never come back. And they show up the next day, and I'm like, you want a chalupa?
So I was gonna say, because you took like an oath, didn't you, some sort of like hypocritical oath about how you have to like always give people, like, didn't you learn that at like Taco Bell college or whatever, like, just because he fucked a chalupa yesterday doesn't mean you can assume he's gonna fuck one today?
Right
It's like on page 5 of the manual, something like that. I don't know.
Well, it's the only oath is, you know, do no harm to the chalupa. It has nothing to do with people. You're just supposed to – you're making the chalupa. Don't drop it. Don't break it. Don't fuck the chalupa up. The whole point is you want to get the chalupa to the person who you're selling it to so they can pull down their pants and fuck the chalupa immediately.
Well, I think –
does that make any sense?
Totally, let's 100%. Yeah. Okay, let's move on. We're talking about emotions, not chalupa. Feruza Chalupa. Chalupa Ferupa. Stroke number one, folks.
Chalupa Bulk.
I don't know if there's anything specifically you wanted to address. I read a book once, This Is the Truth, by Antonio Damasio, called Looking for Spinoza. And have you heard of this guy, Antonio Damasio? He is a neuroscientist.
It does ring a bell, but you're going to have to... He's a neuroscientist. Oh, yeah. Okay.
His.
I learned a little bit about that in my Taco Bell. This is a little training. Bit. Taco, yeah. Bell grad school. Anyway,
let me see if I'll read a tiny bit from his Wikipedia page. Let's see. He formulated the somatic marker hypothesis. Okay. A theory about how emotions and their biological underpinnings are involved in decision making, both positively and negatively. And often unconsciously. He said that emotions provide the scaffolding for the construction of social cognition, right? You studied that. And they are required for the self processes which undergird consciousness. Okay, so basically what that moves towards in the book you realize is what he's saying is that emotions are not these these like vague, unquantifiable things that sort of happen magically in the brain. He said, no, there's a direct biological process. And he's not talking about like this part of the brain flashes when you're angry and this part of the brain flashes when you're scared and this one when you're having an orgasm. He's like, no, emotions as we experience them are our brain's response to the way we view the world's impact on our body map. He's saying that's, and I'm probably misparaphrasing it a bit, but in essence, when you are feeling an emotion, that is your brain saying, what's that doing to my stomach? What's the world doing to my feet? What's the world doing to my face? And when I say map, it's not like we have like a literal, perfectly, you know, drawn map of our body. It's like your hands are kind of a part of your brain, and your feet are kind of a part of your brain, and your stomach and your asshole. They're different parts. And then these different parts have different emotional meanings for you. And I'm not talking, it's not Freudian either. It's not saying, oh yeah, because you were potty trained too early, that's why you're into, you know, keeping your house clean and you get anxious if you're not keeping it clean. He's not talking about that. He's saying that just, I think they did an experiment a while ago, maybe you remember this, maybe you don't, where they're like taking pictures of people's bodies as they're experiencing emotions, and they're seeing that there's different hot spots that occur. Like a lot of people feel anger in their chest, and they feel fear in their stomach, and they feel
arousal. Emotions are like physical feelings, really, if you pay attention to them. So that makes sense to me. Kind of a map, a physical map drawn by emotion.
Depending on the severity of the emotion, your cognitive awareness of the emotion, your ability to alleviate or enhance the emotion, all these things will lead to either conscious or unconscious thoughts that lead to decision making, as he says, either good ones or bad ones. You know, you get scared and you can tell yourself, oh, I shouldn't be scared, it's just a spider, but there's something on the back of your neck that you're feeling and you can't make that go away, and so you decide to move away from the spider, even though you're consciously telling yourself there's no reason to be scared of this fucking spider, and yet you're still moving away, you know. So
it all rings true to me. I feel I feel like there's a real, it really is, it's a biological evolutionary function, really.
Yeah. I mean, talk about
trying to regulate your emotions is difficult because it's such a biological response that it can't be denied.
Right, and
sometimes it can only maybe kind of be contained, and then you can inhibit a behavior that might have transpired if you had no power to inhibit.
You just said that inhibit, emotion, but you just said inhibit a behavior that might have transpired. You sound like one of these CBT guys, Joe, and I don't know. I don't know if like you're defending them or.
Well, it's a cheesy bacon taco.
Cheesy bacon taco is a means by which to cognitively alter your own behavior. It's like, okay, hey, next time you want to punch your wife, go eat a taco. Go eat a taco. You're like, well, won't I get fat?
I got to go back to the emotional eating thing. Because – look, you have an infant child.
Well, I do.
Not really. Like, it's moving into toddlerhood now, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's almost two.
When your child was an infant, did you feed that child a fucking cheeseburger?
No.
Okay. Yeah, it seems like a bad idea. Today I looked out the window, mm-hmm. and I saw a 300-pound woman and an infant child. I don't know if there is such a thing as like a morbidly obese infant, right?
Probably.
That's what I think I was looking at.
Yeah.
The 300-pound woman was feeding her very large baby a cheeseburger.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to – because you're a dad.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not an expert on this stuff, but I my immediate reaction was that there was a lot of problems going on right there.
Yeah.
Well, and maybe it was – maybe emotional problems, but I don't know. I just, before the podcast was over, I wanted to say, look, emotional eating is probably not the best way to cope with emotional distress. And a 300-pound woman feeding her 60-pound infant child a cheeseburger is just repugnant.
But I'm going to play devil's advocate here just for the sake of it. I don't know why not, because we're at minute 35 here, and we'll be moving on soon. But the reason why emotional eating is not good is because the stuff you're cramming into your body is toxic to your body. Is that the reason why? I mean, what about emotional running or emotional meditation or emotional playing with a fidget spinner? I mean, these things are ostensibly either have no or positive impact on your body. Are you telling me that the reason why emotional eating is bad is because it's toxic to your body? Like a cheeseburger is bad for a baby because it's full of cholesterol and other things that are, you know, it's not giving it the baby the nutrients it needs. I mean, what you're saying?
I mean, just well, just the obesity thing. I'll just, you know, from my perspective, if your main coping skill for your emotions, like if you can't tolerate your emotions, you don't have some other kind of healthy way, like running, even a fidget spinner. If you don't have some other way to do it, and your go-to mechanism is to fucking stuff your face, well, yeah, you're gonna have consequences for that, and it's gonna be health, poor physical health, and yeah, so that's a problem. You end up with diabetes. You end up with a fucking heart attack or stroke. Right. Like, yeah, I'm just saying, if that's your go-to, if that's how you distract yourself from your emotions, you know, cope with your emotions, you're fucking in trouble. That's all I'm saying.
Sure.
Now, some people do the exercise thing to the point where the physical health problem too, and they're in danger. Like, you know, but for the most part, as far as I understand, exercise, if you do it regularly, it helps long term with your kind of tolerance for emotion, your frustration threshold, your just emotional stability all the way around. Way better than a fucking chalupa.
Right. Well, I guess
either in your mouth or with your dick in it.
Right, down your pants. I guess so. Like, you're into Taco Bell there, and this let's say woman. It's stereotypical to say only women are bulimic, but whatever. Deal with it, Tumblr. You'll be fine. Woman comes in every day to your Taco Bell there. She orders the chalupa. You watch her eat it, and then you watch her go into the restroom, and then she comes out, and it's clear that she's barfed it up, right? And I know that's not quite how binge purge works. It's a little bit more extreme than that. It's not eat a chalupa, go throw up, have a nice day. It's, but for the purposes of illustrating, right? You know,
I did like your brief description of eating disorders. So anyway, continue.
Well, here's my point. So like one day you stop her and you say, look, Consuela, I don't know why I called her that. That's racist. It's a talkable pronoun. Look, Deirdre, can I call you Dee Dee? I can't help but notice that you have a problem. You eat and then you puke and then you move on. Perhaps you should go see a therapist to address your problem. And so she says, well, I did that. And all he wanted to do was work on my bulimia. And clearly the bulimia itself has an underlying cause. And this guy was just telling me that if we can fix the bulimia, that might help fix the cause. And I said no, and he said, okay, well, then let's address the cause. I said, oh, fuck no. The whole reason I'm eating is to avoid dealing with the cause. And so the guy said, well, what are you going to do then? He's like, well, I think I have it under control, right? Once a day, I eat one chalupa, I barf, and I'm fine. I'm not gaining weight. My teeth aren't falling out of my head. I'm not really too severely impacted because I have my coping mechanism under control. This is what I'm getting at, Joe. What about people whose coping mechanisms?
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Yeah. Why is everybody lumped into the same category? Guy comes into your Taco Bell and fucks a chalupa. I mean, no one needs to see that, but if that helps, if that keeps him from murdering his wife, I say give him a second one. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, look, man, it's not a mental illness. You know, unless there's real consequences, and the consequences become dire, and it's progressive. And, you know. And addiction is the same way. You know, if somebody has a fucking glass of wine every single night, let's say they have 3 glasses of wine every fucking night, and they never – and there's no health consequences. There's no consequences to their relationship. It never fucks with their job. They never have a hangover. But let's say the person's like, no, I need my fucking 3 glasses of wine. Well, guess what? That person's not an alcoholic. They're a person that has no consequences at all to their habitual consumption of 3 glasses of wine. But the moral of my story is, if fucking a chalupa makes you feel a little bit better and you're not adversely affecting your relationships or the other people in the taco line, see, I would advise against – take that chalupa home, fuck it in the privacy of your own home. and thus ends my speech about mental illness this evening.
I think we're on the same page. We're at minute 40. Maybe we should pay for our podcast, Joe, and do some things.
What do we want? Larko?
Did Larko go first last time, or I can't remember? You listened to the podcast. What happened?
I can't remember. Listening to the podcast is becoming exhausting. There's so many of them, and
we're on number really, we're number 23 here.
I can't remember what I can. I used to have like a pretty tight understanding of what happened in each episode, but
it's not like we've
been doing this for years, but shit, man. Like, I can't even consider myself a fanboy of our podcast anymore. I can't remember what the fuck happened anymore.
Probably for the best. Okay, let's – you have an ad as well, right?
Yeah, okay. We've got one.
Okay.
I got some copy.
Mine is 300 – not mine. The one Larko sent me is 323 words. How long is yours? No, 383. Sorry.
Okay, mine is 279. So,
okay, let's do this. In the interest of spacing, you go first, and then me, and then you will give me a good reason why we should end our podcast altogether. An argument, and that way it'll be like your content, my content, your content. How's that sound?
Love it.
Okay.
So
let's do this. Let's get you set up. I'm not going to say how I'm getting you set up, although if you heard something in the background change, that might be an indication of how I'm getting you set up. And let's also introduce you are you still there?
Yeah, I got my copy here.
Okay.
I'm ready to go. Brand new sponsor. Depression is like slowly eating a handful of dog shit. But taking a bite out of a thick, squishy turd, like it's a Milky Way bar, only begins to describe how it feels. In fact, only people who have experienced clinical depression really know what it's like. Some say it feels like watching your mother get shot in the face, or being forced at knife point to drown your own cat, or dropping your ice cream cone. In any case, depression is not something you have to handle alone. If it's been a while since you've had a zippy-doo-dah day, ask your doctor about Wellbutrin. Wellbutrin has been proven to help not only with symptoms of depression, but severe anxiety as well. If you've ever experienced clinical levels of anxiety and panic, you'll know that it's difficult to describe. It's kind of like dangling your bare dick and balls into the mouth of a hungry mountain lion, knowing that at any moment the beast's jaws will come slamming shut, tearing the entirety of your genitalia from your mangled and blood-spurting crotch. Look, no one needs that. See if Wellbutrin is the right medication for you. It can also help you quit smoking. Side effects may include dizziness, nausea, weight gain, rational fear, man buns, Pokemon stop, rash, butt rash Bel Grande Supreme, interpretive dance, insomnia, hypersomnia, headaches, headache relief, that bitch Rhonda, silliness, dry mouth, constipation, Daffy ducking, thoughts of Daffy ducking, donkey cock, donkey dong, floppy schlong, irritability, blurred vision, prolapsed anus, honey bunches of oats, bunnies jumping a goat, white privilege, white fragility, black power, unfrosted Pop-Tarts, depression, anxiety, and hate fucking.
That was delightful, especially considering what Larko sent me.
Oh yeah. I just can't believe that a side effect of this is unfrosted Pop-Tarts.
I know, that is like, terrible.
That's fucked up, man.
That is seriously.
Come on, like I can handle some dry mouth, but yeah. Unfrosted Pop-Tart, fucking A, dude.
My favorite part was the point that Wellbutrin, a drug you take for anxiety and depression, may cause anxiety and depression. That's just like.
That's a little unfortunate.
Yeah.
But anyway, Wellbutrin, you know, we are being sponsored by Big Pharma at this point.
Yep.
And it's been really apropos with our topic this evening.
Yeah.
So maybe we can continue on with that.
It's nice how that coincidentally happens. Mm-hmm. Let me read to you what Larko sent. Okay, here we go. Need to do some repairs around the house, but you're not sure you're in the right mood? After all, cleaning out the gutters when you're feeling blue is no picnic. It's not even a Wendy's drive-thru. It's barely a stolen hoagie from the 7-Eleven. Nope. Doing chores when you don't even know how you feel is about as productive as patching cracked drywall with toothpaste. Indeed, given that 99.9% of all Americans suffer from chronic fatigue, the chances that you'll ever be able to self-report your mood accurately is about as likely as John Tesh fronting AC/DC in a concert at the Texarkana County Fair. Which is why you need Mood Rung from Larko. Whip out your standard stepladder in anticipation of hanging up those Christmas lights, then rip off one of the rungs and replace it with Mood Rung. Climb up and take a look. After a few minutes, Mood Rung will let you know just how you feel. From cool white for calm to bright red for enraged, you'll know exactly where your brain stands. And as you work, Mood Rung keeps working too, letting you know, for example, if hitting your thumb with a hammer has made you angry or not. Mood Rung has been endorsed by the American Society for Psychiatric Mood and Emotion Broadcasting Collective, a conglomerate of 23 distinct psychosocial brain state awareness programs scattered around much of rural Texas. And Mood Rung comes in a variety of shapes and color schemes to fit your ladder's dimensions and your own preferred mood reporting portfolios. Try Holistic Halogen, Neurotic Neon, our signature line of Fluorescence by Ariana, or go with our best-selling I Can Dance Incandescence. You can buy Mood Rung wherever retail replacement ladder rungs are sold. Just look for the bold green packaging. Try Mood Rung today. Do not use Mood Rung while wearing shoes or outdoors in temperatures measured in Celsius. Mood Rung may cause or lead to diarrhea, insomnia, headache, fatigue, ejaculation, failure, anorexia, bloating, dry mouth, drooling, sweating, overheating, restless leg syndrome, tax evasion, cartography obsession, mood disorders, ironic iTunes purchases, rectal bleeding, internal bleeding, generic bleeding, bleeding like a sheep, mother love, or rickets. Do not eat Mood Rung. Available only by prescription. Larko is not responsible for misuse or use of Mood Rung.
Man, holy shit, be careful with Mood Rung, kids.
It will fuck you up.
I tell you, you know, you were talking about hitting your thumb with a hammer in that. Well, that was part of the copy there, right? Hitting your thumb with a hammer.
Yes.
Every time somebody brings up hitting your thumb with a hammer, I think of a funny story.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, my father, oh my God, I'm going to talk about my fucking dad again.
Why not?
Well, he was just trying to set up a tent one day, apparently. And he told me the story and he's like, this situation that I'm about to tell you, it made me feel frightened. So it was a tale about, you know, a situation that really scared him. And even when he thinks about it, it scares him. Mm-hmm. He goes, I was trying to put the, you know, tent stakes in the ground, right? Mm-hmm. And he, you know, he positions the stake and he hits it with a hammer. Well, he doesn't hit it with a hammer. He hits his fucking thumb with the hammer as hard as he can.
Yeah.
He goes, you know? And he's like, oh my God. Positions the stake again, fucking hits his thumb with the hammer the exact same way a second time. Now, after he did this three times, it occurred to him that he was scared, not for himself, but for his children, because of the DNA that he had passed to us, and that he was such a fucking idiot that he was sure that he was going to that was going to be transgenerational, and that me and my brother were in fucking physical danger because of the DNA that he had passed us. So,
and lo,
that's a rough situation, huh?
And lo, the taco slicer attacked.
Oh my God, it's true.
And his destiny was fulfilled. Your destiny was fulfilled. The sins of the father were visited on your thumb. That's hilarious.
Oh, fucking heyo.
Heyo. Hey, let's get to arguments for cancellation. Real quick, though, before we do, I want to point out that in the side effects that were listed possible for Mudrung and Wellbutrin, there was one that was the same for both. And do you remember what it was?
Oh, really? There was an overlap?
There was an overlap. I didn't catch that. It was dry mouth.
Dry mouth.
Dry mouth. Now, I'm going to go talk to Larco, and I think you should go talk to Big Pharma, and I think we should talk them both into changing that to Smash Mouth.
Okay. Well, wait, but does Mudrung also is a side effect, a possible side effect, that bitch Rhonda?
No, that is not
that's
a side effect.
That's a pretty common side effect of different products.
No, I think that one you're safe if you're using Mudrung. But dry mouth is, it's possible. It's not guaranteed, but it is possible. So, right.
Common side effect.
It's a common side effect. Let's give you a chance to tell me why we shouldn't do that this podcast anymore. Is this a good time to do that?
Yeah. Let's go.
Okay. Let's do that.
I think the evidence is compelling.
Is it? It's good compelling evidence. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's see if you can fucking convince me.
Sometimes that is better.
Welcome to another emotionally disturbing edition of JBC's Arguments for Cancellation. Ooh. This one's going to hurt, Jason.
Where is it? Okay.
Get ready. Okay. It's going to hurt a little bit because in reviewing our podcast, I've realized that I'm afraid we are not mentally or emotionally stable human beings.
What do you mean we? Like humans aren't or you and I aren't?
Oh, no. Me and you. Yeah. So and I compiled this evidence. I think we should stop the show because I think we need to go and really focus on our emotional health and our emotional regulation. What you're about to hear is going to make clear that we have very little emotional regulation. These are emotional outbursts, manic outbursts, just freakings out of all kinds. There's
freakings out.
Full on, breaking into tears, angry verbal attacks. Mm-hmm. It's rough, man, and some of it's straight up abusive, like abuse between the two of us. I'm kind of glad we're not in the same room. I think eventually we would hurt one another.
Yeah,
and so that's my argument, and I call this one "Feeling You Up."
All right, here we go.
You fucking idiot. Plato mask.
I don't
Pluto,
know.
Naked man jacking off. Pluto.
So, like, I draw.
Shut the fuck up, you piece of shit. Fuck you, Joey.
Joe. You can't. I'm crying and hard at the same time.
Fucking. Get out of here, dog. Jesus.
Are you fucking kidding me? Yes! Woohoo!
Fuck it. Fuck it. What are you doing? I wept for no reason. Fuck you, Joey!
Yeah, motherfucker! Yeah! Yeah! Fucking yeah!
Oh, my dog. I stink I'm shaving a dork right now. Oh, fuck you, Charlie Brown.
Ooh,
Fuck you, Satan.
Fuck you, shithead.
Fuck you.
Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you, Joey.
Oh, perfect million.
God damn it, Jason. Stop it! It's rough, man. I had to pad it a little bit with Maria Bello screaming "Fuck you, Joey," because I feel like I needed to be berated a little bit. Can I make a request?
Yeah, yeah.
I know this might be a bit much, but can we just hear it one more time?
Sure. Yeah.
And mostly this is for you because I want to hear some of the I just want you to pay attention to this. Some of the. God damn, like, we're in trouble here, dude.
Okay.
This is for your own good.
All right,
let's hear it one more time.
All right.
You fucking idiot. Plato mask.
I don't know.
Naked man jacking off. Pluto.
So, like, I draw.
Shut the fuck up, you piece of shit.
Fuck you, Joey.
Joe. You can't. I'm crying and hard at the same time.
Fucking. Get out of here, dog. Jesus.
Are you fucking kidding me? Yes! Woohoo!
Fuck it.
Fuck it. What are you doing?
I wept for no reason.
Fuck you, Joey!
Yeah, motherfucker! Yeah! Yeah! Fucking yeah!
Tell my dog, I think I'm shaving a dork right now. Oh, fuck you, Charlie Brown.
Ooh, fuck you, Satan.
Fuck you, shithead.
Fuck you.
Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you, Joey.
Oh, perfect million.
God damn it, Jason. Stop it!
Goodness gracious. That was awesome.
Anyway, I just really wanted to drive that home. Have I convinced you that this disturbing shit should end?
I think you just fucking convinced me.
Sometimes dead is better.
Dead is better.
Dead is better.
Yeah. How are we doing on time? Because
it's a good question. We have
there's
3 minutes.
Something I wanted to touch on. I mean, we got a few minutes, right?
You want to touch on stuff? Okay, we're gonna take the show in that direction. Good.
Well, so we're not. So we're not in the same room, so you're safe.
Safe. Air quotes. No, we're at minute 57 point. I don't know how to convert decimals.
By the way, did you notice like how much verbal abuse and actual weeping has been on our show?
Yeah,
it's
this show has been by itself an emotional roller coaster. We get going, and then also
seriously,
we get not going. We get both going.
Listen to that episode. And I hear myself scream at you. I called you a fucking idiot. I scream. That's hardcore, dude.
Yeah, that's good awesome. God. Hey, I think every American wakes up in the morning hoping that he can elicit that kind of reaction out of someone. Honestly, if you're walking down the street and no one's paying attention to you, wouldn't you rather someone shout at you, "You fucking idiot"? Isn't that better? Don't you think?
Well, the opposite of love is not hate. It is apathy.
It is.
So
no, the opposite of
so
love.
So yeah,
is
we certainly
twin.
Evoke emotional responses from one another. So certainly maybe do. That's kind of a good thing. I just think it's gone too far and.
Yeah, we should probably end this. Okay, tell you what. Let's. This will be our last episode ever.
Mm-hmm.
And then, that reminded me. Good. I'm glad we're ending this because there's this project I wanted to start with you. What do you think about doing a podcast? Bear with me. Two guys talking about shit. Not like feces, but just whatever. What do you think?
Let's do it. We'll stop this podcast.
Yeah, this one's
next
over.
Next week, we'll start a new one.
Brand
same
new
name.
Podcast. Yes.
Yeah.
Might as well keep our name recognition, sure, but it'll be a different podcast.
We'll
still use Roiksopp just because work with what you know.
Yeah,
but everything else will be 100% different. Well, I'm gonna call Largo and see if they'll sponsor us. But everything else completely different because this
I
one
think
needs
I
to
might,
die.
I think I might be able to find like a rotating cast of new sponsors every week too. I don't know. We'll work on this off the air, but I think we're onto something.
I think
this fucking podcast
done.
Is done.
Done. All right. Bleeding Demised. X podcast. This podcast is no more.
Well, and we'll probably talk about this more next week, but we're going to be, I think this week, it might even be coming out tomorrow, we're going to be reviewed on a podcast called Pod Gods.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And yeah. You know what? I don't think it's going to be a shining review.
Nope.
I don't think so.
Nope.
And I've already gotten a little feedback from the guys, well, one of the guys at Pod Gods, and it's actually a guy I really admire. He does the Lord's work, and I told him that. Mm-hmm. He archives classic Loveline, which is, I mean, this man provides a lot of the entertainment that I consume every week. So yes. I feel honored that we're going to be reviewed and perhaps just shat upon.
Yeah.
On this thing. I don't know, but I've been trying to consider, and, you know, I've been texting you about it, like, it should, you know, what of this feedback, what should we kind of consider? And I've been considering it. I don't know. How about you?
On the air, I will tell you that I've been considering none of it. Those guys mm-hmm. can go, you know, back to their Hollywood mansions. They're Hollywood bimbos, and what's the male equivalent of a bimbo? Because I don't want to assume they're heterosexual. I'm not insulting them by insinuating they might be homosexual. I think homosexuality, like heterosexuality, is a sexuality. Also, there's people who are non-sexual. We're all humans, Joe. I'm not trying to denigrate anybody, even people who insult my podcast, this Labor of Love. They can fuck men, they can fuck women, they can go fuck themselves if they want to. I don't care who the fuck they fuck, as long as they fuck. And if they don't fuck, that's fucking fine, too. I'm not saying fuck just so you have another fuck podcast or fuck montage. I'm just saying on air, I will not admit to considering any of their advice.
All right. Well,
I think
they'll be respectful. But yeah, after all the feedback, there's one thing, like maybe shortening the Roiks up a little bit. Other than that, like, I think it's too late and I've kind of fallen in love with what we're doing. And even if, you know, and they're just trying to help us maybe get more listeners or grow. But like, I'm starting to doubt that I even want that. I think I just want to listen to what we're doing because I've really grown to enjoy it.
Yes.
And maybe that's where it ends for me.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, let's.
Except, of course, that I'm constantly trying to cancel the program. I know that sounds like a big contradiction because it is.
It is, but it's not at the same time, which is why this meta podcast is so beautiful. Look, you don't go up to Ron Jeremy and say, hey, how about shaving that dick back a couple, 3-4 inches? What do you think? You don't do that. Yeah. And you don't tug on Superman's cape. And you don't spit in the wind. You don't pull the mask off that old Lone Ranger, and you don't shorten the fucking Roiks up, except for this episode and maybe the ones after this.
Well, I'm just saying, you know what? If the entire Roiksop song, maybe people are worried in the first few minutes that it will never fucking stop, and then they turn it off. And I found that feedback compelling.
You know, we started this show by talking about bad breakups, and I just like to point out that the only reason anybody ever broke up with me is because they dated me in the first place. And in order to date me in the first place, they had to get through a whole lot of never-ending bullshit. But they persevered, Joe, and they were better for it. And then they were worse for it, and they dumped me. But before they were worse for it, they were better for it. And that's what I'm telling people who listen to this show. Just wait out the Roiksop. You will be delighted. And if you're not, you won't be. And that's life.
Yeah. Well, I'd also like to say, everybody, support Superfan Giovanni on Patreon. Because he is cranking out the classic Love Line, and God damn it, that's the best radio show I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to hit the outro, the short one.
Here we go. No,
it's
not
too loud
at all.
It's too loud. All right, Joe, do we learn anything today?
The outro is the whole damn song, Jason. I didn't change a thing.
All right. Well,
because we love Roiksop. Nobody can stop our love of Roiksop.
Yeah, we like shitty techno. Wait, god-awful techno.
That's right, it's god-awful, dude.
It's god-awful, and I love it. I don't care. You know what? I don't care if our show is just you and me. I like masturbating. You like masturbating. We're just going to masturbate together.
Oh, and basically we can kind of keep stealing shit unless somebody tells on us.
Yeah. We don't want listeners. We have to give the Roikes up.
Right. But, you know, even if we get into, even if we have like 100 listeners, which will never fucking happen, we're still kind of in the clear. So, you know what, man? I'm feeling good about this shit.
Feeling real good. I'm feeling emotionally high. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, that guy, DiMaggio. What's his name? Rodrigo? What'd you call
Super? You talking about Superman Giovanni?
Giovanni. Thank you, Giovanni. And thank you, listener, and good night.
Hey, fucking...